fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard. And call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right, we are live in the studio maintaining social distancing, all in separate studios at least 6 feet apart. But we are here, we are live, we are back. Sorry we weren't here last week, had to replay, but that was actually already scheduled long before crisis struck the country. But we are back with you to help you sift through all of the virus news and whatever else is coming around, and the media is off the hook. I mean, they're not any help. So we're glad to be back. And as always, we know that you're concerned. We know that all of you have washed your hands and washed your ears out before we started the program. And to go with that, we are here with Clean Electrons. Like we did 2 weeks ago, right. Our award-winning engineer has been diligently washing the electrons. He's been disinfecting everything. The microphones smell like Lysol. It took him 2 days to climb to the top of the transmitter and just put the Lysol on that bad boy. It's like a 2,000-foot tower. But he went up there, yep, and he cleaned it because he is fearless. He is our award-winning engineer who prides himself on germ-free electrons for your listening pleasure, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. Good to be back.
Right. Well, we want the listeners to listen safely.
Safely. Absolutely. Safely. Absolutely.
So, your ears are safe. Well, sort of.
Sort of.
Safe from germs.
Safe from
viruses.
And to protect you from everything else but the germs, we have the Director of Quality Assurance here to try to keep some sort of dignity and decorum in the studio as we bring you another hour of excellence here. Well, we use that term loosely, but try to bring you the show and what's going on. But she is an executive producer, co-host, and Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Tracy Taylor.
Great to be here. I'm glad to have something to do.
You're glad to be out of
the
house.
Yes, just something to do.
I did get somewhat of a desperate text earlier. Are we doing the show?
Yeah. Please. Yes.
I think cabin fever was setting in.
Well, and I think we should let the audience know that it wasn't because of the virus that we weren't here last week.
No, we had
We had an event that I was supposed to go to.
So we had already planned to do a replay.
Yeah. Right.
But boy,
and then
it all got spun
out of control, and the events all got canceled. But it was kind of too late to put it all back together because you were out of town and everything. That's why we weren't here.
Right.
It wasn't because we're scared.
No, not scared or sick.
No, we weren't scared or sick. But we are back. And I kind of felt bad because I was like, boy, last week really want to talk about this.
Yeah.
But now it's interesting. And obviously there's only one, there is some other news out there, but the really big story obviously is this Chinese virus, the Wuhan flu, whatever you want to call it, that is ravaging the world. 2 weeks ago, when we first talked about this, there were 1,300 confirmed cases in the United States.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Last Thursday, if we had done the show, because I was watching it, the number was just over 13,000.
Right.
Which is about a tenfold increase. Which you're going to go, whoa. But, you know, they're starting to test and everything. This week, as of the last time I looked at the sick map, John Hopkins University sick map.
Right.
As of just a few hours ago, 83,500 plus cases in the United States. So 13,000 a week ago, went up 70,000. Huge jump. However, it's not a tenfold increase. It's about a five to sixfold increase in 1 week. But we also started widespread testing.
I was going to say, let's unpack that a little bit.
That's what I'm getting to.
Yep.
We started, the testing is still not where it needs to be, but it's continuing to be more and more across the nation. So there's probably, that number is probably low. Because there's probably, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me if that number is two or three times or four times greater, because there's people we don't know.
Yeah.
That have it. Now, the interesting thing, over those last 2 weeks, the China numbers went from like 80,000
right,
to 82.
Yeah, they did something.
Now, really, now think about that. Really? The Chinese only went from 80 to 82, which now the United States has more confirmed cases than any country in the world. We just passed China today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does anybody believe the Chinese numbers? I think they're missing at least 10.
Oh, you think?
At least 10.
Yeah.
I think they're lying.
And you could be correct, but let's look at the difference in the society in China as opposed to the United States.
True.
When they say, when the Chinese government says, in the house, don't come out, we mean it, or you will be shot.
Then they mean that.
The people stay in the house, they don't come out, or they know they will be shot.
And you know what? You can't do a COVID-19 test on a corpse.
Right.
Here, so if they've shot you, you're not in the statistics.
Here, it's been, you know, we recommend, you know, that you socially isolate yourself. We recommend that you don't go to gatherings. We recommend, and ultimately, things did get shut down. Bars and restaurants are closed. Large
even
venues,
in Mobile
sports,
County,
everything.
Where there's only 18 cases.
Right, right. So ultimately, things did get shut down, and we are practicing more social isolation and distancing and that sort of thing. But the difference between, I'm not saying those numbers are correct.
Well, you're just saying they're not.
I'm just saying
it's apples and oranges.
Also, difference.
Yeah. Let's say they're not as far off. Maybe they are close to correct.
Yeah.
That tells us something different. Well, wait a minute. If the Chinese have hit their peak and they are somewhere in that neighborhood, then we should hit the same peak.
Right.
I mean, maybe a little slower because we can't
force
lock people into their houses or shoot them in the streets.
Right, right.
But so that means there should be an end game. It's not that bad. I mean, you got 1.5 billion people over there and only 83,000 got it.
Yeah, that's a little suspect.
That is pretty
suspect.
A little suspect.
Yeah.
Then the other one that makes me think, so all over the place, you know, places like Switzerland is a tiny country, has 10,000 cases. India has like 722.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
I've said it's suspicious
that
India
almost none.
And they're one of the most densely populated, poorest, like horrible, filthy conditions.
They're just not doing the testing.
That's what I think. That's why I think it's shoddy numbers.
Something to do with it as well.
So you got to be careful about all these numbers.
Right.
We are very careful. At over 1,000 deaths in the United States. I think the worldwide is what, 20,000? I think it's around 20,000 worldwide. There's over 1,000 dead, which about half are actually in New York. One of the things that's got people scared is one of the projections is 80,000 possible deaths in the United States, which is a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants that. But you know that if that's true, that's only about 20% worse than a bad flu season.
Right.
Right.
So, and I'm not trying to make light of that, but trying to put it in perspective that every year we go through the flu season and 20 to 60,000 Americans die from the flu.
Right.
And we don't shut down the economy.
Nor do we not even give 30 seconds to say, not so fast, Governor such and such.
Right.
There are constitutional things, be it good intentions or not, there are limits by which you can just make decrees and mandates. But I have been bothered and shocked at how willingly even conservatives have been like, yes, sir, whatever you say, never stopping to realize this is how, if socialism were going to take over, it would look just like this.
Yeah.
It would. And again, not, I don't think it's there yet, but you were just saying, we're not going to lock people up. And so I read pieces today, the mayor of Chicago actually is threatening to arrest.
To arrest people.
If he sees them in the park, he says no riding, or was it a female? I don't even know.
It's a female.
Right, female. Yes. No riding bikes. First you'll be given a fine, then you will be arrested.
There are places.
They're threatening.
The mayor
and then they
of
have
LA
these,
said he's
going
to shut the power off to bars if they don't close.
See, that's, to me, is an overreach.
Yeah.
And I think we got to be careful of that overreach. But now also the projection, here's another interesting thing. There's a guy in the UK, an epidemiologist and now analyst at Imperial College, who apparently it was his study here out about a month or two ago, let's say 4 or 6 weeks ago, that got everybody really frightened. And his analysis said there'd be 500,000 deaths in the UK and 2.2 million Americans would die from this. If we didn't do something about it. Well, that guy just came out.
I was going to say.
Today or yesterday and said he's reevaluated.
Yeah.
He's and like, he now projects that the UK may see 20,000 deaths. Mm-hmm. Not 500,000, 20,000.
Yeah.
So, and I'm bringing that up because I think that's where maybe some of the governments went, oh my God, really? You're telling me that we could be looking at 2 million Americans dying
panic.
In the next...
Right. Yeah.
So I think there was some panic at all levels.
Yeah.
I mean, you still got de Blasio running around saying that 50% of New Yorkers are going to get it.
Yeah.
None of them are on the street, so I don't know how they... I don't know. Maybe they're having parties down in the subway or something. I don't know how they're going to get it, but... The point we're trying to make is trying to put some perspective on all this. But make no mistake, we're not saying this is not contagious. It is more contagious than the flu, and it is more dangerous than the flu.
Right, yep.
But the flu is about a 0.1% morbidity rate that you're going to die. Right now, they're saying this is about 10 to 12 times that in the United States, but they actually expect that to go down as they determine who's actually had it. Because some of you have had it and don't know. You thought you had a cough.
I got
and you were uncomfortable and you don't have and you had it. And
I
you didn't
got
know.
An email from a friend of mine in Chattanooga. I hadn't talked to. I mean, we email back and forth, but she told me that her husband had it, brought it home, gave it to her. You know, 7 days or so.
Yeah.
The rest of them were kind of okay. She's still having some issues with. Body aches, but she never got a fever. He got a fever. She never got a fever. But she's still not feeling 100%. It's been 11 days for her, so.
So it is dangerous. We're not trying to say that. Yeah. But we're coming back because there's a whole bunch more to talk and unpack, and we'll take your calls and questions at 251-343-0106, and you can text that number as well.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And obviously the big topic of the day is how the Wuhan flu is basically shutting down the whole world in the United States. I hope folks understand that for healthy people, they should recover. Okay, it's 90-something percent that you're going to recover. You may have difficulties. The real concern is for elderly or people with health issues. Mm-hmm. They can be treated too. The problem is you probably will have to be put on a ventilator. And the projections are that we would have, what we're seeing in Italy, more people who get into the very severe symptoms and would need to be put on a ventilator, and there are none.
Right.
So you would literally have patients that you're deciding between 2, 3, 4 patients, which one gets that ventilator.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to slow and avoid. That's why you hear them making ventilators. I just saw something right before I came in, a post that Dyson, makes vacuum cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
That they just built 15,000 ventilators.
Right. And
they just retooled and just built 15,000 ventilators.
General Motors factories has done the same thing.
So that's what they're trying to do, is get ahead of it, get hospital ships, the Comfort's going to New York, the Mercy, the Navy hospital ships is going to L.A., is trying to make sure there's enough ICU beds and ventilators if this thing hits a certain surge or peak.
Right.
Right.
Right? Where it overwhelms. So that if you do need the ventilator, you get it. It doesn't mean for sure recover, but it without it you don't.
Right.
So you got to
keep you alive until your body.
And that's really what they're working for. And some of the people are saying, or some of the studies are saying, we could be looking at a peak in April sometime, by mid-April the peak.
Yeah.
Which could, we get on the back side of this, we could start returning to normal. That's what the president.
Well,
was talking
and if we
about.
Have time, I know there's so many things to cover with just this. I would like to hear what our callers think about the idea of bringing back pharmaceuticals. Like, to me, what if we had got hit by a mass terror attack? We would still be short on these same supplies.
Right.
According to what we're hearing.
I think this is a great wake-up call for us to bring manufacturing back, more manufacturing back, our pharmaceuticals, instead of letting China make every drug that you take.
Exactly.
Which actually... Did you know that Trump finally backed off in the last 2 days about calling the Chinese virus? And he was asked about that. And he said, look, everybody knows it's from China. I don't need to keep rubbing that in. So, but now I go, okay. So I get it. That's sensible. So do you think he just came up with that? Or do you think that old Xi from China called up and said, you know what? If you don't stop calling the Chinese virus, I'm not sending any more antibiotics. I'm stopping all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that crazy to think that it's maybe that happened?
It's not crazy to think that that might happen.
You have to wonder, especially to get Trump to sort of change his mind on something like that.
All right, we had a texter weigh in that says MyPillow.com is started
yes,
making masks.
He said, I'm not sure, but that is true.
That is true.
That would be great. Yeah, I think we're going to see lots of that.
Seattle has issued a thing. They got people sewing masks at home.
Well,
they issued a challenge to people
in
Seattle.
Mrs. Sullivan is working to that effect.
To make a mask.
Yeah, I just saw a thing that Joann Fabrics, you can go by and they like dump a bunch of kits into your house, like, and you can like go home and sew them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
I mean, a mask.
Everyone's trying.
We come up with masks. You need ventilators, we can make a vacuum cleaner.
Talk about the differences between us and China. There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We don't shoot people. We let them
as long as we don't go completely down the fascism road.
Right. No, let's not do that. Okay.
That's what keeps me up at night.
We got LD the Mad Trucker holding on line one.
Hey, everybody. Look, you know what gets me about this virus is the fact that it spreads so quickly all over the U.S., which makes me think one thing. It must be pretty mild because sick people usually don't go out anywhere. They sit at home and lay on the couch. So 80% of the people that get this don't even know they have it, or it's so mild that they just power right through it. What are we going to do next year, Pete, when it flares up again? Are we going to have to shut this country down every time a virus comes into town?
Well, that's exactly the point. Is we face adversity. It could be the swine flu. It could be a war. But what you do when you face that adversity, you figure out a way to cope and carry on. You got to mitigate. You can't just go to your bunker and hide till the next year. And really, is the cost of shutting the entire economy down? That's even worse, because then you're sick and you need these things. And guess what? The guys at Dyson aren't making the ventilators because you just sent them all home.
Right.
And it's a vicious cycle.
This is just very suspicious. This seems like a media-driven virus. I mean, yes, it's there. Yes, it is contagious. And yes, people are getting it. But the media has flared this up to be like an atomic bomb.
That's an interesting question. So let's say this thing goes about, let's say it's twice as bad as the swine flu. Mm-hmm. And by summer, 25,000 Americans have died, but we're past it.
Yeah.
And we're out of it.
Yeah.
But we're in a depression.
What will people do?
Are they going to go to President Trump and the Congress and go, you know what? We know you had to do that, and we only lost 25,000 people, and we were not going to hold you accountable for me losing my job and my house and all those things. Do you think the American people are going to do that?
No.
You think the Democrats are going to be so benevolent?
No.
They're going to say, thank you, President Trump, for holding this to only 25,000 Americans. Well, it could have been so much worse. We sacrificed our economy, but you delivered most Americans. You think they're going to say that?
Well, I can't wait to talk about November. Again, another topic that related, but I can't wait to talk about November. I have my thoughts about what they're doing, but we'll save that.
Let's go to James, line two, calling in from Pensacola. What do you got for us?
Yeah, every day I get to hear on the job how, you know, people are mad at Governor DeSantis because he didn't pass an issue to stay at home order. And, you know, they go, well, Connecticut did, New York did. Here's some things to look at, though. I mean, A, do we really want to go down that road? And, you know, plus, you know, we don't have, you know, who's going to enforce that in the state of Florida?
Mm-hmm. It's
you know,
a big
we
state.
Don't have the police presence that New York and Connecticut have.
Right. And you're spread out. But look, if you're in a rural place, there's a lot of agriculture in Florida. People don't realize that. There's a lot of, it's not just Disney World and beaches. There's a lot of agriculture. And in rural areas, obviously, they're removed somewhat. And now, you know, they didn't like city folk anyway. Now they really don't like city folk and ain't going to let you come out there. So what, you're going to tell all the people in the rural areas to stay at home and not grow the food? That presents another problem.
Sure
I mean, you got to balance these things out. Now, if you live in Miami, and you're all stacked on top of each other down at the beach, well, I don't know about stay in place, but like in Mobile, they closed the bars. They closed the restaurants. Mm-hmm. They said no events of over 25 people, right?
Right, yeah.
I guess that kind of makes sense if you're trying to stop this spread through public contact. I don't know. And see, that goes really to the point of what they're throwing at Trump. Because, you don't listen to the experts. He's got to balance everything. The health risk, the economic risk, the security risk. He's got to balance all those. Everybody's telling him different things,
and that's what
things,
you have
right?
to... Who is it? Fauci?
Yeah.
I mean, he's, I'm sure, brilliant in his own right, but he's a medicine...
Well, that's the thing.
He doesn't see that broad horizon because that he's an expert in that field.
The president,
Trump
as
has
a commander-in-chief,
right.
has gathered around him his generals in this war.
Right. Yeah.
He's put Mike Pence in charge of the COVID task force team, and Fauci is, you know, one of the generals there, but he's looking at it from his narrow perspective.
Correct.
Of how to make sure that people don't get sick, and if they do, how do we make them well again?
Right.
The commander-in-chief is looking at the entire theater of operations on how do I maintain and preserve a country after this war is over.
It's a huge balancing act.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you just go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I need to make sure this virus doesn't spread at all." He's going to say, "Easy. Make everybody stay home for 2 years."
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you got to balance that. I mean, I don't know if you've dealt with lawyers, and I'm not slamming on lawyers, but if you say, tell your lawyer, give me a contract that protects me. Against anything.
First of all, it'll be a million pages long.
Yeah. And it will be so restrictive, no one else will sign it.
Right, exactly.
So you've got a balance in there. How much risk am I willing to take? What do I absolutely need to cover? And that's what the president's trying to balance. That's why it really kind of irritates you to have people slinging rocks at a guy who's trying
damned
to balance.
Well, he's damned if he doesn't.
Doesn't matter.
And if he doesn't.
All that. Are we running the break already?
We're close to it, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, we got some more calls.
James, thanks for the call, buddy.
James,
we appreciate you listening from Pensacola. We'll be back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, bring aboard ABC Signs and Shirts. That is your headquarters for custom-made dry-fit shirts, custom-made banners, signs, promotion materials, anything you need to promote your business, celebrate your family reunion, your sports team, or lose your mind and run for political office. They can help you with any of those things. Go to abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, or abcsigns.biz. They can help you, and they bring wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
All right, that was a patriotic speech. We are Americans, Ronald Reagan. It was during his presidency. I'm sorry, I couldn't find exactly when. I think it was either a World War II anniversary or a Veterans Day, or it might have been a Memorial Day, but I stumbled. I was looking for something to rouse the country, and I thought, you know what? This is, like Mark said earlier, like we're at war, and that's what he's talking about. And really, we're Americans. We don't roll over. We don't lay down and say, oh, let us go hide in our little bunkers until the big bad virus goes away. And I'm not trying to make light of the virus, but say, we got to figure out a way to cope with it, mm-hmm. to live with it, to carry on and still run this country. We can't just all... It doesn't work to bring everything to a standstill. It's such an absurd proposition. So I picked that one as a motivation, and it sort of goes along with this week's column was, don't waste your quarantine.
Yeah.
Well, it's an opportunity. If you're going to be at home, you got a yard to clean. Mine is cleaner than it's ever been this week. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Okay. There's a book you want to read. There's a language you want to learn. There's a bathroom you've been meaning to remodel. There's some project you've been meaning to do. And, oh, by the way, there's people in your house.
Well,
you maybe
in your house.
Well, most people.
Most people.
You might even be familiar with them. They might even be related to you. And I would encourage you to get to know them.
Well, you know.
And spend time. Play board games. Don't all sit on your phones. Yeah. Reconnect.
With the neighborhood, I've done a few runs and walks more so than normal.
All of a sudden,
it looks like a Norman Rockwell in my neighborhood.
Right.
I mean, the dads are out there blowing bubbles with their kids. And just it's just cutesy. You know, I mean, the weather has been grand and nice.
No, it has
and
been.
And unusually good.
Trent and I planted a garden today.
I mean,
vegetables. I mean, we did it today.
There are some silver linings.
Yeah. And also, the last part of it is make sure you reconnect with your Savior. Because all the things we can do, the most important thing we can do is pray. Pray for each other.
All true.
Pray for our communities and pray for this country. And we will be delivered. This is not going to last forever. So, all right, let's see. Line 3, Thomas has been holding for 2.5 hours. Thomas, what do you got for us?
No, it was just about 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry about that.
And I've been stuck in this house for 15 years. I'm used to this. I go out 4 times a year to the doctor, and that's it. Uh-huh. I have to stay in this house. Port Courage, I call it.
There you
Port
go.
Courage.
So you should start a blog or something on telling people how to cope with quarantine, since you're an expert at it.
And what not to do by yourself. I'll tell you a couple of those stories.
There are.
But anyhow, I think Reagan said that in 1860, if I'm not wrong on that one. This afternoon, Trump did say Chinese virus. And it is afternoon chat.
Oh, did he say it again?
Yeah.
He must have slipped.
Chat. And also, he said he might have to mention this was going to be the top subject tomorrow and all the news story. Is he said, I might have to take part of the airline industries because he said it's so important. He might have to take part of it. He's talking about nationalizing the airlines industry and taking a couple of the companies
for the U.S. to run. For what purpose? They're losing money. Why would the government? Of course, that's when the government wants it. Is when they're losing money.
He can run it better than they are, and we have to have it. So he's going to take part of it. He said, and I don't think many people are talking about it. But if you go back and you listen to his chat this afternoon, that's exactly what the man said.
We're going to
nationalizing the airline industry.
Well, I wouldn't listen to that. I don't know. I'll have to go look. But that doesn't make any sense at all. Why you would even need to do that? Because hardly anybody's flying. I mean, they're not profitable right now because nobody's flying. Hardly anybody's getting out there.
Well, I've said for years he don't make much sense at all, anything he says to me. So why ask me why he would say something like that? I don't know.
He wants
to take over like Putin wants to be king forever.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he just wants to be reelected and get us through this, which we've got a lot to get through. So, but look, he already said, too, that you know he'd like to see if we could set a date and be reopened by Easter, if it's at all possible.
The curve, we're not even half up one side of the curve yet. This man, even the doctors and the scientists, even me, I say we're about 25% up the hill.
Well, we might be 20. I don't know. No one knows where we're at. But when it starts coming back down, we'll know.
I understand that. I'm just giving my view.
Well, now, if you look at the other places, if China and South Korea can be used as examples, the South Korea, I don't trust the Chinese, but the South Korean
model's been pretty good.
South Korean model's been pretty good. If their model is correct, then Trump's not far off. We should be peaking sometime in April and should be able to get back.
I'd like to mention they have done what's called selective quarantining. Instead of using the broad brush approach,
right. They've
targeted very susceptible communities. Again, there's a huge difference between a super urban area compacting
Mobile
and
New Orleans. Right. We're very different.
Yeah. And again, the homeless population.
Right.
There's certain things that needs to be handled for sure, but not with a broad brush.
Right, right.
Well, thank you very much for letting me on, and I love you all. And
you take care. Stay away from crazy people.
That's right.
Everybody.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. We're praying for everybody. Thomas, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Are we at the break already?
We're getting close to it. We can maybe get David on.
David calling in
over.
From Mobile. What do you got?
Hey, Pete. In my opinion, and I'm going to sound a little bit crazier than you normally sound here on this, but in my opinion, this whole coronavirus mess boils down to two things. First of all, it's a power grab by certain politicians like Andrew Cuomo, Bill de Blasio, and Gavin Newsom, taking away civil liberties of their citizens. And then answer this question. When is the last time the world public health system has had this kind of unfettered, no questions asked access to the public treasury?
Good question.
Yeah. Good question.
Why don't we unpack that when we come back from the break?
Yeah, hang on, David. We'll get you on the other side of the break. That is a good question. And let me quick, as we're phasing out here, somebody texted in, you're always talking about no virus being in the sand. I have no idea what that means because we've never mentioned a virus in the sand, and says that her daughter from Houston can't rent a beach house in Dauphin Island because they can't walk on the beach. I don't think it's because there's virus in the sand. I think it's because they don't want crowds on the beach.
Right. You can't make an exception for one person, then you got to make an exception for 100 people.
But I have no idea where the virus in the sand came. It didn't come from us.
Nope.
A lot comes from us, but not that. Okay, we'll be right back with your David on the other side and your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Now, there is one bit of good news in all this.
Tell me.
The Mexicans have actually closed the border and not let anybody through.
Yeah, there we go.
So there is some good
news. There is.
The Mexicans, properly motivated, said no more gringos come south, so they're closing the border.
As long as they keep them coming north, that's right.
there was... The relief package got passed. Stocks are kind of rebounding this week. They've jumped up, you know, a couple few thousand. But things we got to deal with is over 3 million jobless claims this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Now, usually there's only 150 to 200,000 jobless claims a month.
Right.
So you got to put in 3-plus million in 1 week. That will be devastating and have ripple effects. Those are the things that we've got to balance in there. So I wanted to get those things out, but we got callers. David, let's go back to David on line one. He was bringing up about this power grab, which I think they did some of that in the relief package. There was a whole bunch of pork in there that didn't need to be in there. And then you brought up your question about, I guess, the medical community.
I'll restate the question for you. When's the last time that the world public health system has had this kind of unfettered, no questions asked access to the public treasury?
Probably never.
Ever.
The closest they've ever come is the 1918 Spanish flu. But that's what this is really about. You have public health bureaucrats that believe they are smarter than the politicians and the policymakers. They have to go hat in hand to begging for table scraps because they're all doctors, so they think they're smarter than everybody, and they have to be happy with whatever they can get. They are now punch drunk on the money that they now have access to. That's why they have to keep you scared of this virus. As a matter of fact, WKRG this evening had a story that the top public health official in Ohio came out with some new symptoms for this virus. If you have had gastrointestinal issues and aching but no fever, you might have coronavirus. Well, heck, according to her, I've had coronavirus for the last 5 years.
Yeah,
I know we were just talking about right. That. You know, you wake up in the morning, you got a little headache. It's like, okay, am I getting sick now? You know, you blow your nose because you get kind of congested overnight, and it's like, oh my goodness, is this it?
It just so happens it's the worst pollen season.
Ever.
It's pollen season, which is crazy in the South.
I don't know if I'm all the way down the road with, but I see what you're saying. You're saying usually these guys have to beg and plead, and they just get whatever the politicians decide. But now they got the politicians just opening the checkbook and giving them whatever they want.
Yeah.
So
they're
figuring the store's open, and they're going to ride this hobby horse as long as they can.
Exactly, because what this virus boils down to, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't take precautions and we shouldn't try to reduce the spread of the virus, but what this boils down to is this is a virus that is infecting about 10% of the population here in America. And of that 10%, it is killing less than 1.6% of the people it infects, with only about 20% of the those people having moderate to severe symptoms of this virus.
Well, so that's where the balancing act is. Do you shut down the whole country?
Right.
If we knew what the numbers were, but that's what we're trying to determine.
Yeah. There was some Democrat that got caught with a hot mic that did say something to the effect, and I'm definitely paraphrasing, but we better do this now. You know the bloated bill? The one
pork. It was Clyburn said we have an opportunity.
Yeah.
To push our
agenda. And we might not have another one.
We may never have this opportunity again. And we haven't really touched on how aggravating this whole bill was, the way they finally got it out. And at a $2.2 trillion, I'm guessing there's a lot of pork still in it.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot more they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were trying to make a grab for the voting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, same day.
Intrude into state, into how to, because the states run the voting, not the federal government. And they wanted to intrude in that.
All kinds of stuff from
Planned Parenthood to the Humanity, you know, the National Endowment for the Arts. I mean, all sorts of stuff that had absolutely nothing to do.
Solar panel tax credits.
Wind and solar tax credits that have none of this has anything to do with the relief. And they were just trying to stick it all in there. Well, David, yes, that's...
Tell me where I can read that column of yours, Paul.
Oh, yes. Go to BamaNewsNow.com, and you can read Don't Waste Your Quarantine. And there's other nifty columns on there. David, what's yours out this week? I think, didn't you post one yesterday?
I haven't posted one yet, but I've got one. I've got a good one working. It's going to be about coronavirus.
Yeah, you know what? I've written about coronavirus 2 weeks in a row, and it looks like
you might do it again.
Do it again for next week. All right, David, thank you for calling in. Check him out at BamaNewsNow.com. They also, for unknown reasons, publish my column there, too. No one really understands. All right, we haven't got to it. We need to get to this last caller, but the one thing I wanted to get out that, and really I thought would take a whole lot more, would probably take a whole show, is the disinformation by the media. And we know the media is putting out not just misinformation, they're disinformation, trying to purposely mislead you. And if you don't think there's fake news, how about the Arizona couple that decided to eat the fish tank cleaner tablets? Did you hear about that?
It was a form of
chloroquine.
Right. Because the president and a lot of media have been talking about the chloroquine, which is a 70-year-old drug used to treat malaria, has been out there for 70 plus years, been treating people. Matter of fact, everybody in Vietnam was taking chloroquine. When you were in Vietnam in the war, you were taking chloroquine.
If you were in Korea, you were taking
chloroquine. Okay, so it's known not to kill you.
Right.
Okay, and he said there's been some promising anecdotal studies, not clinical studies, but anecdotal, meaning just they tried it and it worked. And he just mentioned that. Well, some moron and his wife out in Arizona saw that chloroquine was an ingredient in fish tank cleaner. So they thought they'd just pop a few of those tablets. Well, one of them died and the other one was ACU. The reason I'm bringing it up is because the media is trying to pin it on Trump. Say if Trump wasn't out there giving bad medical advice, these people wouldn't have done this.
Right.
Okay, we can't help stupid, but we can help the malicious, which is the media. I needed to get that out there. So,
absolutely.
John, on line two, what do you got for us?
You know, I don't know. After listening to you and all that, I may have taken that in Cambodia. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway,
well, you probably did if you were in the military.
Probably did. Some of the things we're forgetting about. Quinine. When did quinine come about to fight malaria, which was malaria, you could say, is an extension of the common cold and the flu. All right, that's in tonic water.
Right.
Quinine is in tonic water. How about having a gin and tonic?
Gin and tonic for a round for the house.
Yeah. Something else I saw on Facebook, I'm not trying to make light of this or make it funny or anything, but I saw where two nurses were making, like, dust masks out of used bras. And I'm thinking, that's genius.
That is genius.
That is very good. That's smart. These two nurses came up with this.
I wonder if it's an N95 or higher.
I don't know. I don't see me walking into Winn-Dixie or Rouse's with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Do I need an N95?
I guess it depends if it's a padded bra or not.
Do you get an N95 or a double D?
Well, like I said, I'm not trying to make light of it or make it funny.
Well, me either, because my wife won't let me wear it.
Gotta go.
John, we're out of time.
Really, I had more, but go ahead.
No, we're out of time. Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you for listening. Folks, we're going to get through this. These are difficult times, but we need to take our precautions and be prudent and work when you can. But we are Americans. We will get through this. Pray for our country. Honey, it's time to come home.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips. fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-432-8430. That's 800-432-8430. Call now. 800-432-8430. 800-432-8430.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk